Thank you, Noren and Jesse. Our scripture lesson for today is from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, reading verses 18 through 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have a confession to make. This is not the whole reading for today. The reading of that was in the lectionary starts with verse 15, and it starts with all this stuff about how to confront a church member if they've wronged you, and you take another person with you, and then if they don't listen, then you take them, you know, it's all this church discipline kind of stuff. And then there's these two verses, and a lot of people spend time on the first one, which is about prayer, and then don't really spend time with the second one. But I just felt like I wanted to spend some time on the second part of this, which is verse 20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. And I'd like to start, of course, as I do most of the time, with you and with your life right now. And I'd like for you to try to see if you can identify a place in your life where it's hard to feel that God is with you. It may be something that's happened in your life socially. It may be something that's happened medically. It may be something that's happened because of a grief or of a loss. But, you know, we all on this Christian journey, we have what's called seasons of the soul. And we have times when we feel closer to God and we feel further away from God. And I think we all can identify something where we think, you know, man, I'm having a hard time really seeing God being in my life right now. And sometimes we don't have eyes to see it at all. And I want to start, if you've identified that, I want you to hold on to that thing in your life. But I want to start with something else, and that is when we actually started with this in Advent, talk about Emmanuel, God with us. That's the whole point of Jesus coming, that God is with us, Emmanuel. And that there is absolutely a place for you by yourself to sense the presence of God. There's absolutely a place for you to enter God's presence by yourself. And, you know, and I do this, you know, daily in prayer. You know, I'm praying for you guys. And I believe God is with me in those prayers. And sometimes if I'm really tired, I'm not able to really articulate all the thoughts I have. And so I say, God, right? You know, and I'll just do names, you know. So I want to say that first, is that God can absolutely be with you by yourself. But here is a very different pronouncement of Jesus. And I think it's overlooked sometimes. Maybe I'm just confessing, I overlook it. And that is when he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. And I wonder how the disciples heard that. Because, you know, this is before they get to Jerusalem. Disciples, as usual, are clueless about Jesus, and they have no idea what's about to happen, that Jesus is going to leave them, and Jesus is going to be killed and rise again from the dead. But they don't know that yet. We're still in the same section where Peter confesses Jesus as the Messiah, and then Jesus tells them that he's going to suffer and die, and Peter says no, and then Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And, you know, we've just been through that the last few weeks. And so he's still in this kind of thing, kind of last class for the disciples. And he's telling them, and he starts out with the church, like it, and it's kind of weird that they use the word church there, because the church didn't start until Acts. But He says, you know, you establish you establish something with two people. And he's on this idea of two people, two or three, get two, a witness and everything. And then he says, you know, if two of you agree on something, in prayer, and I'll do it. And then he says this thing about wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm among them. And you wonder, you know, they probably, well, two or three, man, there's 12 of us and you're here. And why do we even need to hear this, you know? But they probably look back on it later and said, I see what he was talking about. But what does that do for us? What does that do for us in our lives? And I'll confess a few things. When it says where two or three are gathered, and this is a second way of finding Christ, it means not by yourself. Okay? It means to gather. And as an introvert myself, I would rather do it by myself. You know, it's an effort to go and be around people. But this is what Jesus is saying to the disciples, is to gather, two or three to gather. You know, some people, and that's why I wanted to start where I started, that yes, you can find God alone, but it's not enough. There's more than that. You know, everybody says, yeah, I don't go to church. I find church in nature. And I get it. You know, fishing on a lake, God's there. Especially if I catch fish, God's there. But even if I don't. So I get that. But there's something about gathering. Jesus says that he inhabits community. And that is extremely important for us to take home. That gathering together is important as Christians. And, you know, he doesn't say he won't be with you alone, but he is Jesus Christ is encouraging us to gather, to be in community with each other. And that's easier for some people than other people. And yet, because, you know, if you're an extrovert, gathering is what you need. If you're an introvert, it drains you of energy. Doesn't mean you don't like it, it just drains you of energy. And so you pay a price for it. But it's not just enough to gather. The second thing he says, when two or three are gathered in my name. Okay? So, just because you went to a concert and there are a whole lot of people there and we're all singing together doesn't mean that you are in the presence of Jesus. You know? And I love that stuff. I do. But that's not what we're talking about here. You know, just because you're at a dinner with a whole lot of people and there's a lot of, you know, laughter and joking around and great food, that's great. But it doesn't mean that Jesus is there. It doesn't mean he's not. It just doesn't mean he is. Where two or three are gathered in my name. If you're at a political rally and it's all exciting and everything, same thing. Doesn't mean that Jesus is there just because you're with people. So what does it mean when we gather in his name? Now, the easy part, and this is probably more pastors than anybody else, when we say, Lord, we're here in your name, we'll say it. We'll say, in your name, Lord, we want to, you know. But that's a kind of a religious talk that not a lot of people feel comfortable doing, you know. Even in their family, like even around the dinner table, maybe you do, it's fine if you do, to say, Lord, we've gathered in your name. But here's where it's really important, and Noren kind of talked about this in the time with young disciples. When we gather in Jesus' name, it's a gathering because of Jesus, for one thing, because we are his. That is why we're here today in this sanctuary. We're gathered because of Jesus. You think back on when, and this is, I'm sure, probably mythology, but when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, He landed on someplace in America. Was one an island? Was it on an island or something? I don't know. But he took his he claimed it in the name of Queen Isabel. It's like, and what that mean in the name of meant as if she were here walking on this land. I claim this in the name of Queen, and that's part of it. Is we're gathering not just because of Jesus, but as if he were here doing this work. In the name of Jesus, we gather to do what Jesus does. And he is in the middle of it. That's the most amazing part of this verse. That's why I just want to stay on this verse. Jesus is in the middle of it when we gather. I think when we gather to worship God, that is in the name of Jesus. Jesus is in the middle of it. When we gather to do the work of Jesus, Jesus is in the middle of it. And that's why it's important for churches to gather in the community, to get other churches together and do things together in the name of Jesus. Which means, because Jesus, if Jesus were walking around, Jesus would be doing this. So when you're like in the grace garden, like weeding with other people, you're doing that in the name of Jesus. You're working in the name of Jesus, doing the stuff that Jesus would do. We're talking about thriving congregations and trying to get several churches together to do this kind of outreach in our community. That is doing things that Jesus would do as the body of Christ in the world. And I think, and for me, it's just exciting. There's this guarantee here. Yes, you can be alone and it be in the presence of God, okay? But here's a second way. You gather in the name of Jesus with other Christians, and Jesus promises that Jesus will be there. That's huge. I mean, you're welcome, of course, to go to session meetings. You don't have to, but you know, you're welcome to be at a session meeting. And we're gathering in the name of Jesus in a session meeting. We have a good time, honestly. But it is, Jesus is there. Not because we're like just praying all the time, but we're doing the work of Jesus. We're gathering because of Jesus. We're gathering in the name of Jesus. And he promises to be there. I just think this is huge. So now let's go back to the thing you identified at the beginning of when you feel a long way away from God. Sometimes when we feel a long way away from God, just praying alone doesn't cut it. It just feels like it's bouncing off the ceiling. So here's the remedy. The remedy is to be with other Christians. He guarantees that he will be with you if you two or three are gathered. And I think that's just huge. And it means big groups and little groups. I love the fact, what if you said, whenever 200 or 300 of you are gathered together, I'll be with you. Well, look around, folks. We wouldn't have that right now in here. And, you know, I don't really watch much of religious television, but whatever's on there is huge. There's all these thousands and thousands of people in these big auditoriums. They're like, oh, well, Jesus is really there. You know, they got the fog machine, and they got the good band and everything, you know, and the real cool lyrics that have the sea oats that move behind the words and stuff. And Jesus can be there, because, you know, I'm not saying it's not. But even two or three. Catherine Pinkston leads a prayer meeting on Saturdays in the sanctuary, and that is only two or three that come to that. You're welcome to add to that number, of course. But Jesus is there with them. I think if you as a family pray together, say grace, say a blessing at meals, and I think it's an important discipline for families to do, because at that point, there's two or three you gathered in Jesus' name. That's why we say in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer, because we're saying we're gathered in your name, and you are here. You're here with us. And so that is a second resource for you. It's a second remedy when you feel your individual prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling and you feel, where is God in all of this? Gather. Gather with two or three other Christians, or more than that, you know. But if just one other Christian, that's two. And Jesus promises to be with you. And the presence of Christ is really important in that. I used to upset my youth group back in the day because at the youth Bible study, they would talk about that they were going on dates. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus that Christ will be with you on that date. They didn't like that at all. And they went, you know, but not, you know, not in the car. Oh, yeah, you need to remember Jesus is right there with you in the car. Okay, yeah, yeah, but not in the back seat. Yes, I'm going to pray. And they just went, ooh, that's going to ruin it. That you're practicing. I want to close with a couple of quotes. One is from William Barclay, and he wrote on this. He said, we can take this promise of Jesus in two ways. One, we can take it into the sphere of the church. Jesus is as much present in a little congregation as in the great mass meeting. He's just as much present at the prayer meeting or the Bible circle with their handful of people as he is in the crowded arena. He's not a slave of numbers. He is there wherever faithful hearts meet, however few they may be, for he gives all of himself to each person. And B, we can take it into the area of the home. One of the earliest interpretations of the saying of Jesus was that the two or three are father, mother, and child. And it means that Jesus is there, the unseen guest in every home. There are those who never give of their best on the so-called great occasion. But for Jesus Christ, every occasion where even two or three are gathered in his name is a great occasion. I'm going to close this. This is a really great book. C.S. Lewis edited the sayings or writings of George MacDonald. George MacDonald was a Scottish preacher. And he has this great thing on prayer. And that's, you know, this verse is right beside the verse on prayer about agreeing on things that will be done in heaven. And as you go back home today and you go to that place where God seems distant, take him up on this offer that he will be with you where two or three are gathered in his name. And so George MacDonald starts out with somebody, and it's kind of a conversation. You say, but if God is so good as you represent him, and if he knows all that we need and far better than we do ourselves, why should it be necessary to ask him for anything? I answer, what if he knows prayer to be the thing we need first and most? What if the main object of God's idea of prayer be the supplying of our great, our endless need, the need of himself? Hunger may drive the runaway child home, and he may or may not be fed at once, but he needs his mother more than his dinner. Communion with God is the one need of the soul beyond all other need. Prayer is the beginning of that communion, and some need is the motive of that prayer. So what do you need today? What is your need? If you gather with some other person or two or three in the name of Jesus, Jesus will be with you. And that before the thing you're asking for is the thing that you need most and best. Let's pray together. Lord, there's so many needs here. I know a fraction of them. You know all of them. We ask that you would let folks feel your presence, sense your presence with them. That they would not feel isolated and alone, that their prayers are just going nowhere, but they would feel the love of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to have the motivation to gather, to be with other Christians, and to pray and give ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.